Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio, where we bring you information about Minnesota's National Guard, the military community, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon program, and Department of Veterans Affairs. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is also a Vietnam veteran of the United States Air Force and a member of the VFW and American Legion. Now, here's Tom Lyons.
Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm Tom Lyons. On today's show, we'll catch up with a Minnesota airman just back from the Middle East and discover a veteran mentorship program with Minnesota's best companies. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Rick Nash.
This week marks the 71st anniversary of the Japanese attack at Pearl Harbor. As Americans, we all share a connection to that day of infamy. But as Minnesotans, we have an additional unique connection. Did you know that Minnesotans fired the first shot against the Japanese at Pearl Harbor on that day? In 1899, the Minnesota legislature authorized the formation of a naval militia. This Minnesota naval militia had chapters in Bemidji, Crosby, Duluth, and Pine City. When war was declared in 1917, the naval militia was mobilized and shipped off to the Philadelphia Naval Yard to become part of the Greater Navy. The St. Paul Naval Unit was sent to San Diego. The ship that the St. Paul unit would train and fight on was the USS Ward, a World War I era destroyer. A little over 2 hours before the Japanese attack, the USS Ward, which was on duty providing security outside of Pearl Harbor, saw a submarine trailing a supply ship into the entrance of Pearl Harbor. The crew, all from Minnesota, fired its first shot at the sub at 6:45 a.m. The first shot missed, but a second shot from her 4-inch gun found its mark. You can see a part of this history by visiting the original 4-inch number 3 gun, which fired the first shot on the grounds of the Veterans Service Building in St. Paul. Thank you for listening. Today's veterans are talented, team-oriented, and technologically savvy. Help good business get better by hiring today's veteran.
Thank you, General Nash. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining me now is Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, Deputy Commander of Mission Support Group at the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing, St. Paul, Minnesota. Colonel Sieben, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
Well, good morning. It's great to be here, Tom. Thank you.
Sir, I think the last time you were on, we were talking about the 90th Anniversary Air Expo out at the 133rd. How did that go?
It went just great, and thanks to yourself and your listeners, we had thousands of people came out to our base up by Fort Snelling there, and it was an interesting July day. It had rained and been horrible weather, but it cleared and it was hot and humid. But we had great people come out and see our base and see the Air Force assets that we brought in and that we've got there at the base. And it was a great day. Thank you.
So the vintage airplanes and good crowd, and everybody had a good day.
We sure did. It probably couldn't have been any better, and it was our 90th anniversary, as you said. So when we have our 100th anniversary, we're hoping to have another one of those. And we had an Army or a joint parachute team come in and everything. It was really an event, really, really neat.
Colonel, I'm curious, did the light rail work out well that day?
It sure did, yeah, with the parking lots there, the light rail parking lots and the advertisement and the different media pushes that we had done, whether it was on this broadcast or others. I think with the light rail train stop right outside our front gate there was just great, that people could park in the federal building parking lot or the other light rail lots and walk right onto our base, and it wasn't too much walking for people, and it was that was a great positive to have that light rail there.
I'm glad you had a good day, Colonel.
Yes, sir.
Sir, in the Minnesota National Guard, there are soldiers and airmen, and there's a lot more soldiers than there are airmen, but you have airmen up at Duluth at the 148th and then at St. Paul at the 133rd.
We sure do.
And how many airmen do we have?
We roughly have about 1,000 at each base, roughly is what it comes out to. Our C-130 base at the one at the Fort Snelling area has probably a few hundred more than the C or than the F-16 unit up at Duluth.
So 1,000 airmen and 8 C-130s?
Yes, sir.
And the 133rd has a dual mission, just like all the rest of the Minnesota National Guard. It's federal and state. Can you walk us through that quickly?
I sure can, yes. We're a state asset, kind of from a day-to-day perspective. And the besides our federal mission, if the president calls us to federal duty, we also can work for the governor, and we can help out in different natural disasters or different storms or different issues, different call-outs for state duty. But by the governor, when it's worked through the local county, like a county sheriff, different things like that, if they're overwhelmed, whether it's traffic problems or storm damage or different things like that, that the National Guard, Army, or Air can be called out to do a local community mission, a state mission, besides its federal mission.
So from the 133rd, you're kept pretty busy moving soldiers and airmen and equipment, supplies around the state and federal missions wherever that takes you.
Yes, yes.
And you get up to Camp Ripley once in a while.
Every once in a while, yes. Even us Air Force guys go up to Camp Ripley. I know our aviators use that runway up there and do different touch and goes and different trainings. We have cargo that's dropped out the back of our aircraft too. That is on different drop zones at Camp Ripley and the areas.
It's a great facility. We've had the commander up there on several times.
And it sure is. It's a great facility for us Air Force people to use too. It's a gem in the National Guard to have it in Minnesota here.
Colonel, last time you were on, I don't think we had time to talk to you too much, but how long have you been in service now?
I've been in, let's see, this winter I hit the 25-year point.
25 years already.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Hard to believe.
And it's been a good career so far, sir?
It has. I can't complain. I've had great bosses, great jobs, and great assignments, and I sure love being in the Minnesota National Guard, I made the right choice oh so many years ago when I was sworn in, and I at that time I thought I would probably just be a weekend warrior type of person where I wouldn't do it as a full-time civilian job, but I've been doing it for 24 years as a full-timer, too.
And, of course, your dad, back when I was in the Air National Guard, was the adjutant general back in
the
70s.
Yes, sir, he was. Yes, sir.
How many years was he tag?
Jim Sieben was his name, and he was the tag from 1975. He was appointed by Governor Wendell Anderson, and then he retired in 1988, right before General Andriotti took over.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, Deputy Commander of the Mission Support Group at the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing, St. Paul, on Minnesota Military Radio. Now, Colonel, I understand you just got back from a six-month deployment.
I sure did. I got back about, 4 or 5 months ago and had a great experience deploying, and it's sure nice to be back.
Colonel, we've been on the air almost 2 years now, and we've talked to quite a few people from the Army side and the Air side about deployments, and a lot of the deployments on the Army side are like the Red Bulls took off with 2,700 soldiers, and they go as a unit, and we hear most often about units being deployed for a specific mission.
Yes.
But on the Air side and on the Army side, you can go onesies or twosies, or in your case, you were looking for an opportunity and found one, and can you explain how that works to us?
I sure can. Real quick for your listeners, besides the big packages of people that get deployed as a whole collective group, we also can just have the onesie-twosies. And so what I did is I was looking for a deployment, a 4 or 6 month deployment, and found out who to talk to in the big Air Force world and what career field I have and my background, and called that person, started doing some emailing, found out what different locations I possibly could go to, and worked it out with my commander back at the base and got it all approved locally, and then was booked for that mission. Maybe it was almost a year out, I think it was, or maybe just a little less than that. So they have slots that they fill onesie-twosies besides the big groups.
Now, sir, on the air side, a lot of the officers are pilots, but you're not a pilot. You're on the support side.
I sure am.
Did that make finding a deployment a little more difficult?
It can, and it all depends, and some of it's all timing, and the support side is every bit as important as our aviators, as the maintainers of the airframes, different things like that in the Air Force. But you have to make sure that you are looking in the right spots and talk to the right people. And if you want to deploy, or if you want to go on a special mission, usually you can, if you start asking the right people, you can you can get connected. And I was fortunate to get hooked up with the right person in Texas and got locked in, and here I am today.
Sir, we don't think about it very often, but to keep those 130s in the air with the pilots and the crews and moving things around takes a lot of support people from finance and personnel and mechanics. There's all kinds of support people that allow that mission to go forward, isn't there?
There sure is. There's a lot of folks, whether it's the recruiting staff that brought those people in, and whether they're the aviators or the maintainers or the cops, the cooks, the civil engineering people, the HR, the personnelists. We have a mini city out at Fort Snelling at our Air Guard base there, and we have all disciplines of the different careers out there represented, and it's a neat little city out there.
Colonel, we have to take a short break. When we come back, I'd like to talk about the deployment you went on and what the mission was and how that went. So we're going to go to commercial now. We'll be right back with Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons, and we've been chatting with Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, who's Deputy Commander of the Mission Support Group at the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing in St. Paul. And we've been talking about his deployment, where he was most recently has completed a six-month deployment to Southwest Asia as commander of the 405th Expeditionary Support Squadron. Colonel, as we talked about before the break, You volunteered for this deployment and went over to become commander of the 405th. Did you have any idea what to expect? I know we're just going to say Southwest Asia, but do you have any idea what to expect about conditions and troops and what the job was? How much information did you know before you went?
Well, Tom, I had bits and pieces, but that was about it, because the location I was going to was a classified location, and it still is. And so there wasn't much information out there. When I went to Google and different things like that, you couldn't find much out about it. And I had one officer that was at our base, and he's currently there. He was there about a year prior to me. So he gave me some bits and pieces, and I had some ideas. I knew I was going to be living in a tent and different things like that. And I knew that it was going to be an austere area, that I was going to be, on foot, and we had a very small little air base there that was very rustic. It was in the expeditionary mode, and we were going to be going to the more long-term mode. So part of our mission was to upgrade the facilities, and we were sleeping in tents, and the tents had been up for many years, were not in great shape, different things like that. So I knew some minimal stuff about it, but it was still very interesting to me, and I'm sure glad that I went, and it was great, a great mission, great people there, and it was just an awesome experience.
Sir, I'm looking at an article that you wrote about this deployment, and the base's motto seems pretty interesting to me. It says, doing great things we can't discuss, with people we can't identify, in places we can't disclose, so we can get stuff into the fight.
Yes, and it was great. You know, one of the primary missions of our little Air Force base there was to take products, different items, whether it was armored vehicles, different things like that, supplies from the U.S. that were shipped across the ocean, and it took, 20-some days to get to us. And then it was then reconfigured to be moved on land on trucks. In the dark of the night, it was trucked to our base, and then it was put on airframes, big large C-17 aircraft, and then flown directly into some of the war areas and some of the combat areas. And so it was we were up close and personal and got to see stuff going right to the foot soldier, to the Marine that was actually there on the ground. So that was really neat. And then the sobering part of it is we also got to see some stuff that was then removed from there. So we got to see some of the damaged equipment and the different things that then was flown out. So that was pretty sobering on the other end. It was very uplifting and positive to see the mission of the base pushing stuff to the fight. But then it was also kind of the reverse there when stuff was coming out. You knew people were getting hurt, and there were people out there that wanted to harm us. So it was a little tough from that perspective, too.
It's all about logistics and combat support.
It sure is. It's getting the right stuff to the right place at the right time, and our base was a big key factor in some of that.
Now, Colonel, you've said that when you got there, the base was pretty rustic. tents and cables laying on the ground and so forth was part of the mission to upgrade the base so that it could accept future troops and future deployments.
Yes, it was, Tom. That was kind of the second part of our mission to be there, especially the support people that I was in command of. We had a lot of people that were communication specialists that were taking rudimentary wiring that was above the ground, and they were digging trenches and basically like a moat around our whole base, and put underground cables in and different communication systems so it could last for years and years, and that this base could be used for future Air Force or host nation uses too.
We're speaking with Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, Deputy Commander of the Mission Support Group at the Minnesota Air National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing, about his recent deployment to Southwest Asia as Commander of 405th Expeditionary Support on Minnesota Military Radio. Colonel, was there some urgency to the upgrade of this base? Was the base commander concerned about what if something happens, there's an emergency, and other people and equipment come in? Were you under pressure over there?
We sure were, and that was kind of the interesting side of it, that you know, he expected us to work, and me being a commander, I had to make sure to instill that in my people, that we were over there to work 7 days a week, basically, and 12 hours a day was kind of the minimum that we were expected to be put in. We weren't getting shot at every day and different things like that, but there are people out there that weren't too far away from us that were. So he instilled that on us constantly to remember that our quiet little airbase there that had a smaller little role could all of a sudden be elevated into that, if something happened in nearby areas, that we could have twice the population, we could have twice the airframes coming in there, twice the whatever, if not three times. So we always had to keep that in the back of our mind. And the area that I was in command of, the support world, we had, you know, the lodging piece and different things like that, whether it was the fitness center, the dining center, different things like that, that we had to remember that we might be elevated and have to all of a sudden serve a lot more people and have a bigger footprint.
So you're constantly under pressure, and you were over there during the holidays of Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's. How was morale, sir?
It was amazingly very, very positive. And, it made me even prouder to be over there, to know that while people were back here doing their everyday things, that there's people over there, wherever there is, and that, for us specifically in our location, you wanted to try to not really admit to yourself that it was Christmas or it was Thanksgiving or it was Easter or it was New Year's, because you just wanted to get through it yourself, and you knew that there was some sad people back home probably missing you, and you were missing them. But the morale for our people was amazing, and I was lucky to have in my command some of the support people that dealt with the morale and different things like that. And so they had set up different things. We had a morale visit from USO-type shows and things like that, where we had musical groups come through. We had some different things like that that came in for Christmas Eve and Christmas Day to try to help us get through that and remember that, you know, okay, we're gone this year, but hopefully we're going to be home next year. But the morale was really amazing. It was very positive and very enlightening to keep it all going there, to keep it all going down the road.
Colonel, we just got about a minute left. How was technology? Were you able to stay in touch with your family?
I sure was, and it was a real godsend. It can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. Skype, for example, things like that were great. We had a morale Wi-Fi net over there that we could get into, and we could Skype back with our families and different things like that. And that was real plus. But sometimes that was also somewhat taxing on you too, because you knew that they were back doing their mundane regular things, or everybody was at your house for Christmas dinner, and you were over across the pond. But it was great. And I think, you know, from back in your days in Vietnam, from my dad's days when he was in World War II, that we've come light years, and that the technology piece is really a neat thing.
Colonel, any final thoughts about the 133rd or about your deployment for our listeners?
No, I just thank you for letting me tell my story a bit, to talk about the Minnesota Air National Guard, the Minnesota National Guard, the 133rd, and just thank you to all of the listeners out there, the people that have been so supportive of us when we come home from our deployments that we get treated very positively has always been my experience, and it's very much appreciated. And I'm very proud to be here to tell my little piece of the story on your radio show, Tom. Thank you.
Sir, we've heard a lot of stories from a lot of folks in the last 2 years, but there's some great opportunities in the Minnesota National Guard, aren't there?
There sure is, and we still have recruiters, we still have slots, and we still want people to keep on joining.
Thanks for joining us today, sir.
Thank you, sir.
That was Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, Deputy Commander of Mission Support Group at the Minnesota National Guard's 133rd Airlift Wing in St. Paul. Now it's time for Hire Minnesota's Heroes. With an unemployment rate twice the average, Minnesota's veterans are facing an unemployment crisis. The good news is that you can help. Each week, we'll feature one veteran story and ask you to help Hire Minnesota's Heroes. This week's veteran is Marine veteran Jerry Morales of Golden Valley. Jerry is an accomplished graphic designer with over 10 years of creative experience. He has wide-ranging skills with expertise in project management, print production, vendor relations, and marketing communications. He's a critical thinker and effective problem solver who works well under pressure, taking pride in the fact that he's never missed a deadline, ever. Although he's working freelance projects and working with the Veterans Service Organization as their marketing operations manager, he would love the opportunity to join a company on a full-time basis where he can make a positive impact and be a valued asset. Jerry and hundreds of others are ready to work hard on the next mission. Can we hire Minnesota's heroes? To connect with Jerry, contact the North Hennepin Workforce Center at 763-279-4380. That's 763-279-4380. Or to learn more, visit positivelyminnesota.com/veterans. When we return to Minnesota Military Radio, we'll discover a veteran mentorship program with the Twin Cities' own General Mills. Please stay with us.
Hi, this is Bill Popp of the Minnesota Military Family Foundation. The number one request of deployed soldiers, sailors, and airmen is, take care of my family. The Minnesota Military Family Foundation does just that. We take care of military families. The foundation helps military families when a family has an unexpected financial crisis. We have replaced or repaired many furnaces and appliances, as well as fixed cars to help get children to school, daycare, or the doctor. And we've paid for the transportation and lodging for the family to visit their soldier in the hospital that may be thousands of miles from home. We help military families with many types of financial needs. Military families make many sacrifices. One way you can show your appreciation and say thank you is with your financial support. Please donate. Go to MinnesotaMilitaryFamilyFoundation.org. Another way is to buy support our troop license plates. Yes, we take care of military families. And thank you, military families.
Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we'll discover a veterans mentorship program with Minnesota's best companies. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now here's Commissioner Larry Shelleteau.
Over the past year and a half, I've witnessed many unselfish acts of service and dedication by Minnesota veterans. During my first year as commissioner, I noticed a figure from the Veterans Administration that pointed out only 28% of Minnesota veterans receive some form of federal assistance. That means 72% of our veterans do not receive any benefit available to them. There are many veterans in Minnesota who say, "I'm okay. Take care of my buddies first." We distinctively, as veterans, watch out for our fellow comrades, but now I encourage you to take it a step further and watch out for yourself as well. I would ask each of you to review your own personal situation and take the time to visit with your county veteran service officer to find out what benefits you may have available to you now and benefits that may be available to your family should something happen to you. To learn more about the benefits you are entitled to, visit MinnesotaVeteran.org.
Thank you, Commissioner Shelleteau. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Joining us now to talk about the Veteran Mentoring Program at General Mills is Jeff Marone, Senior Finance Manager for General Mills. Jeff, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Tom, great to be here. I appreciate you having me on.
Jeff, I understand you were in the military. Can you tell us a little bit about your career?
I sure was. It goes back away, but I was a West Point grad from 1991 and served 5 years of active duty as an infantry officer with the 10th Mountain Division.
And you were deployed a couple times.
I sure was, right. First, I went to southern Florida for Hurricane Andrew, and then the following year, Somalia, and then Haiti after that. So three real-world deployments with a great organization.
And, Jeff, I'm curious, how did you get to General Mills after your military career?
Yeah, great question. I had a hard time making the decision to leave the service, but I had been married, and it was time to do something different. So I went through a recruiting firm that paired junior military officers with corporations looking for the types of talents that military personnel bring. So I ended up with General Mills in Chicago in a manufacturing role back in 1996.
And you've been there about 16 years?
I sure have. Yeah, it's been a great ride. Wonderful organization, committed people, and really good business results. So it's been great variety.
I would guess you've worked your way through a number of spots at General Mills, too.
I have. As I said, I started in manufacturing, so I worked on the plant floor, third shift. I went to business school at the University of Chicago in the evenings. Had a chance to join the finance organization in Minneapolis about 12 years ago. And, a wonderful ride. So a lot of great people.
Now, we're here today to talk about the General Mills' Veteran Mentoring Program. How did this start? Where did it come from?
Yeah, that's right, Tom. We've been at it about a year. So it originated from an article I read about 12 or 14 months ago that talked about a veteran mentoring program. I've been involved in other employee mentoring programs. I said, hey, this is a great opportunity. I'd love to do this. The organization was called American Corporate Partners. So I went to the website and tried to apply, and I found out that their model is to have companies and academic institutions sponsor the nonprofit. And what they do then is pair employees or retirees from the organization with post-9/11 veterans.
We're speaking with Jeff Marone, Senior Finance Manager at General Mills, about the Veteran Mentoring Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Jeff, can you tell us how did this organization get started, and who did it? What was the purpose?
Yeah, for sure. It was started by a gentleman named Mr. Sid Goodfriend. He was an investment banker in New York, retired, hadn't served in the service, but saw a need for helping returning soldiers, sailors, and airmen translate their experience into careers in corporate America. So he funded the nonprofit, again, American Corporate Partners, hired the staff, and began engaging large corporations to sponsor the nonprofit, as well as raising awareness among military installations, service members leaving the service or serving in the National Guard to sign up to get a mentor to help along those lines.
Now, has he signed up corporations nationwide to join this program?
He sure has. So American Corporate Partners has been in existence since 2008. They now have 40 sponsoring institutions, and I'm proud to say General Mills was the first in the upper Midwest. We joined last November. Cargill recently joined. So they're always looking to grow the sponsorship because the talent on the mentor side comes from professionals that work for those organizations and retirees, as I said.
Now, how did you get started with them? You went to the website and you checked out what he was doing, and I can tell from the look on your face you're excited about this.
Yeah, for sure. It's been a great program. And again, I thought this was about individuals volunteering. When I learned that it had to be the organization, I found support within General Mills. We're very community service oriented, and employees are very involved. So it was a great match. It was our first real veteran support program. We had a growing veteran network within General Mills. So that came together, and then we targeted both sponsoring American Corporate Partners, and we set out to find 50 or more willing employees to serve as mentors.
So you had to find 50 mentors within General Mills.
That's right.
That were interested in mentoring veterans who were looking for
absolutely
some help, someone to talk to.
Right, right. And so we've got a veteran population in General Mills. So word quickly spread, and I had a lot of friends get involved. But the real opportunity and the exciting part is that the mentors hadn't had to serve in the service in order to volunteer as a mentor. So about two-thirds of our now 80 mentors weren't prior service. So civilian backgrounds, corporate experience, wonderful network at General Mills. They've got a lot to add to a post-9/11 vet looking for guidance on things like, what should I focus on in school? Or here's my goal. Help me achieve that regardless of what functional area in the organization.
So you are mentoring veterans, but it's more than that. It's about experienced, seasoned business people.
It is.
Helping younger people figure out, sort through all of the possibilities, yeah. And how do we set our goals and how do we achieve them?
Right. That's absolutely right, Tom. So it's about career counseling and mentoring, and the needs vary from resume prep, networking, interview preparation, to just plain, negotiating some of life's obstacles that we all face.
Jeff, I don't want to name any names, but I understand you're mentoring a veteran as well.
I am. Yeah, I've been in a relationship with a former National Guard soldier named Jason, who lives in Winona. I name names, Tom. So, he served in the Guard, served in Iraq in 2003, and had similar challenges that I had when I left the service. I was working in manufacturing. I was looking for something different. That's the situation he was in. He was going to school part-time. So we shared a lot of experiences, and hopefully I made a difference in helping him advance his career, move to a different function, change companies, and generate some success.
Now, how did he get to American Corporate Partners, which is where you got the referral, correct?
For sure, right. So American Corporate Partners does the matching. So General Mills employees sign up as mentors. Any post 9/11 vet can sign up with American Corporate Partners to get a mentor. So American Corporate Partners interviews both sides of the equation and finds an ideal match. And I have to mention, too, that many of our pairs are local, but it's also a national program. I mentioned there are 40-plus organizations involved. So we've got employees based here in Minneapolis that have proteges in Texas and South Florida. They're everywhere. And obviously the need is great, given the number of service members, both serving in the Guard as well as leaving active duty.
So is this program free to the veteran, and how do they just go online and find American Corporate Partners?
That's right. Yeah, it's absolutely free. So all it takes is a few minutes to do the online application. A representative from American Corporate Partners will reach out to the veteran. They'll do a short phone interview, and then American Corporate Partners works to find the ideal match, looking at interests and experiences and geography.
So the website is acp-usa.org, but we'll have a link to that website on our Facebook page. A lot easier to remember that. Just go to Minnesota Military Radio on Facebook, and we'll have a link up to that. So back to the person that you're mentoring. Is this an ongoing thing? Is it still going on?
Yeah, it sure is. The commitment is for a year, and what we ask mentors is to have 12 meaningful connections with the protege. So that could be a monthly phone call or monthly in-person meeting, or what my partner and I did early on is have multiple meetings every few weeks. Just as we developed the relationship, we understood his goals, and I got a better feel for how I could provide some guidance to help him succeed.
Jeff, we have to take a short break. When I come back, I'd like to talk about that a little bit more and just what's involved in the mentoring and a little more about how the veterans can sign up for this and how we can find more corporations to provide mentors. We're speaking with Jeff Marone, Senior Finance Manager from General Mills, about the Veteran Mentoring Program on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. I've been joined by Jeff Marone, Senior Finance Manager from General Mills. And we're talking about the Veteran Mentoring Program in partnership with American Corporate Partners. Jeff, we were talking about your protege that you're mentoring for the last number of months. What type of things do you help them with? What type of conversations do you have?
Sure. That's a great question, Tom. So my protege was, he's been out of the service. He was working in manufacturing, and that's where I started with General Mills. So his goal was to finish school. He was going to a part-time program, move out of the manufacturing environment to a different organization in a different function. So we spent a lot of time early on around talking about career goals. And what is that short, medium, long-term expectation that he has for himself? And then I think just the basic, how do we help him get there? So it was things like, let's put a resume together. He had a great start on it, but oftentimes it's translating the military jargon to something that employers really understand. So I've got some recruiting experience with General Mills. So I was able to help him frame up some of the accomplishments that he had in the service as well as in his existing role. It would make sense to an employer and make him look like a more attractive candidate. So resume prep, we talked about networking and appropriate ways to make connections, whether it's through family members, through coworkers, through the school he was going to find an in those organizations, because that's always more effective, obviously, than an online application or just a cold call. So we spent a lot of time on that, and we worked on some basic interviewing things. how to portray yourself. I think a common trait of military folks is that they're selfless. So in an interview setting, it's more about the team and the we, but what employers are looking for is what was that individual contribution that the employee made or the applicant made. So a bit of coaching around, let's talk about me as the candidate and let my experience, my contribution shine.
Two questions for you. Does American Corporate Partners give you any training as a mentor? And you said General Mills has got 80 mentors. How many of them have a protege?
Yeah, for sure. So American Corporate Partners does provide a mentoring handbook. They've got some online resources as well. So both for the benefit of the mentee as well as the mentor. So some resources out there. The other thing we do with General Mills, we've got 80 or so volunteers. We have 67 that are actually paired at this point. Many of them are local. Some of them have national partners, as I talked about before. What we do is, because we have many that didn't serve, is have sharing sessions where we get the mentors together to collaborate, share success stories, talk about challenges that some are having, all with the end state of how do we help his or her protege succeed and achieve his or her goals.
So how's the program going so far? Is it are you feeling good about it? Is it helping
veterans? Yeah, I was the first volunteer having started the program. We've grown steadily since end of November last year, again, to 82 total volunteers. We've got one retiree. We just had another retiree sign up. Many are here in the Twin Cities, but we've got plant locations all across the U.S. Albuquerque, New Mexico, for example, we've got three mentors based there, some with local pairs, some with national as well.
So how are the mentors feeling about it? Pretty good?
Yeah, really good, Tom. I get great feedback. They love it. The organization's been tremendously supportive. So this has been a great success story, and it's just wonderful to see the contributions that people who want to make a difference as employees or retirees of General Mills can have one person at a time with a post-9/11 vet.
Now, here in the Twin Cities, General Mills was the first, and you said Cargill has just signed up for this?
Right. Cargill joined several months ago. General Mills was the first in the Twin Cities as well as the upper Midwest. So a great opportunity for other corporations to get involved. And the objective for each is to have at least 50 volunteers to serve as mentors. So not an easy task. But again, it's a fantastic way for a company as well as individual employees to make a difference in the lives of soldiers, airmen, and Marines.
Jeff, I'm sure there's hundreds, if not thousands, of veterans that would love to have a mentor to help them sort through issues. Is American Capital Partners looking for other corporate partners?
They sure are. So American Corporate Partners works through existing companies and is always engaging additional companies to grow. I mentioned they started in 2008 or so with just one company. In four short years, they've grown to 40-plus companies. And I just heard this week they've had 1,800 pairs through the mentoring relationship. That's been the milestone. So I think that's a great start. They'd expect to double that number here in the next few years.
Jeff, what a terrific thing that you've started with General Mills in partnership with American Corporate Partners. Once again, for our listeners, we'll have a link to American Corporate Sponsors on our Facebook if you want to learn more. Last question before we go. We're just about out of time. General Mills was recently named a Yellow Ribbon Company.
It sure was. Yeah.
And were you instrumental in that as well?
It's been a team effort, Tom. So the veteran mentoring program was part of it, but the reality is we've got wonderful human resource programs targeted at soldiers who serve in the National Guard and deploy and return. We've got a lot of community outreach programs. So we've got a woman who organizes our Veterans Club. She does scoops for troops, teed up for troops, a number of activities to support the community. So it's been a culmination of the mentoring program, the community outreach, the internal programs that help the governor recognize General Mills as a Beyond the Yellow Ribbon company.
Feels pretty good as a veteran to see all this corporate support.
It sure does. Yeah, we're building momentum, and we've got a ton of work to do. There's just so much opportunity to make a difference in the lives of veterans.
Jeff, you're doing a great job. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Tom. Thanks for having me.
That was Jeff Marone, Senior Finance Manager from General Mills, talking about the Veteran Mentoring Program in partnership with American Corporate Partners. And now from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, joining us is Doug Bly. Doug, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Real well. Doug, what's the Patriot Guard and your riders been up to lately?
You know, last week in Jordan and New Prague was our core mission. It's what we do. And Lance Corporal Means, who lost his life in Afghanistan, a Marine, and the family invited us to be part of their awful day. and I'm amazed by the members who show up, the community members, and their reaction to our being there. But it is a solemn memory of the, freedom is not free. And the price that our military members pay, with their lives to keep our freedom free. And we appreciate what that family's gone through. And it's not just the family, the entire community suffers with this, Tom. And again, my gratitude to the members of the Minnesota Patriot Guard who can be there, and to the community members who stand there with us, lining up the road as they bring that hearse through. So it's, I wish we never had to do another one, Tom. And they're tough ones.
A big responsibility to go on a mission like that too, isn't it?
Well, it is. I mean, you're being entrusted with a lot of different things from the family and from the community. And our RAD captain in that area, John Redfield, just does a marvelous job with the families and organizing our members and the people and really delivering honor, dignity, and respect.
Doug, what's a typical mission like, and how do you organize it? And how do you pull it off so well?
It's sadly, it's too much experience. And we've been up and down the road, a lot of years have been doing this, and we've gotten to the point we understand how to do it and what to do. But, our primary mission is communications to the members, what to expect, reminders about where to stand and being quiet. And I think as we work our way forward with that, it's, the RAID captains are that single point of contact to the family and to the CAO or CAICO. And I think that keeps our communication lines clear. But it's, our people know that we're there to be in the background. And if someone wants to stand in front of us, we back up 2 more feet. And I think it is that the honor that we bring to the service and services and being of service to them that I think people appreciate.
It's really not about the riders. It's about honor, dignity, and respect, isn't it?
It is. It is not about us.
Doug, I ask you this every time you're on, but I think it's important. Who's eligible to be a Minnesota Patriot Guard rider?
Any citizen with a 3x flag, U.S. flag, and wants to stand on a flag line. You do not have to be a veteran, do not have to have a motorcycle. Go to our website, www.mnpatriotguard.org. On the left-hand side, there's a button to click join us, email address and a zip code, and all the communications electronic. We'd love to have you with us.
You forgot that one prerequisite, Doug. They got to have a good heart too, don't they?
Well, it is all about heart, as you know, and I know 6,000 people in Minnesota have one.
You've got a great organization. You're doing a wonderful job. We really enjoy having you on the program.
Well, thank you, Tom. Appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us, Doug. It's Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard. We have one mention this week. Before we go, there are 10 more slots available for the next Veterans Pheasant Hunt in Hugo on December 15th. The day will begin with a wonderful wild game lunch followed by a guided hunt. For more information, visit us on Facebook. Sergeant Ben and I were out to that one a couple of months ago, and what a wonderful way to spend a day. Chuck Haas out in Hugo is looking for 10 more veterans to go out and join him. Check it out on our Facebook page. We're just about out of time. If you have a mailbag question or a suggestion for a topic you'd like us to address, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com and click on Contact Us to send us a note. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guests for joining us this week, Lieutenant Colonel Terry Sieben, Jeff Marone, Doug Bly from the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Commissioner Larry Shelliteau of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Rick Nash. Please join us next week as we talk about how you can help the troops and their families during the holidays, and we get an update from our friends at the Minnesota Patriot Guard. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
You've been listening to Minnesota Military Radio with Tom Lyons. Tom is the founder and owner of Phalon Partners Limited, a Twin Cities merger and acquisition firm. This has been a production of Clear Channel, MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com, the Minnesota National Guard, BeyondTheYellowRibbon.org, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Podcasts of the show are available at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.